What is up, Flock and Friends? It's another edition of your full Mingle podcast, Talkin' Flock. I'm your host, Rob Chappell. Joining me in the studio this evening, Mr. Grant Peters from New Dog Magazine. Grant, how you doing?
Doing well, Rob. How you doing?
We're doing all right. We're getting by. Yeah,
how you feeling about this weekend?
I'm feeling great about this weekend, as I am every Wednesday. I feel great about the weekend. And then my hopes are dashed every time. I was thinking about during the match on Saturday, I was lamenting, you know, that like what we do to ourselves as football fans.
Oh, yeah.
All day long, I was excited.
Yeah.
I was like, hyped up. I was even tweeting like, it's only 4 hours to game time. And then that happens. And
it's
just so dispiriting.
Well, you know, I think that's kind of football in a nutshell. You know, is that it's this game of constantly waiting for something to happen, and then when something happens, you just hope that it's your team that's creating the good news. So
right. And I had the Omaha Tormenta game on my iPad next to me. So
yeah, we were watching that beforehand. So
yeah, and so you knew relatively early that Omaha had that game, and then of course they poured it out in the end. Yeah. And we'll talk more about that in a bit, but so you go into our game knowing like we could clinch right now.
Yeah.
And then we didn't.
And we didn't.
But that's okay. We'll talk through it. Wherever you're listening to this right now, hit the follow button, subscribe, like, whatever you got to do. Leave us a rating review. It helps all the other weirdos find us. Share, you know, follow us on Twitter at Talkin' Flock. We are now on the other one too. We're on Threads. We're on Instagram. We're on Blue Sky now. Kyle Carr was our first follower on Blue Sky, which is exciting.
So you made the move over to Threads, though.
Yeah, I'm trying it. I personally went to Threads when it first launched, and the only thing anybody was talking about was how cool Threads was. That was the entire
movie. Yeah, that was their selling point, yeah.
And then that's kind of dropped off, and I kind of forget to go there now. Ranting Blue Penguin gave us a code to get on Blue Sky, so we're gonna try that. Anyway, wherever you find us, share our stuff, amplify, you know, get more people listening, because this is this is the most exciting time of the year, kind of. Maybe it might be our penultimate episode of the season. We hope it's not.
Correct.
But correct. We'll find out. So here's the situation before we get into anything else. Given all the games as they fell over the weekend, Tormenta and Fort Madison are the only teams who haven't either clinched or been eliminated.
It's just us two.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the results over the weekend in a bit, but everybody's either clinched a spot or been eliminated.
It's just us two, right?
Are still up in the air.
Yeah,
however, we will say that nobody's really clinched their seed yet.
Correct.
Has something to play for.
Right. Like looking at one through three, mm-hmm. those could all change by the end of the weekend.
Sort out any order, right. Really, depending on how things go.
Right.
Now the two teams that are still fighting for that sixth spot are begging, each of them are begging the other to take it at this point. neither one playing particularly well in this past week or weeks leading up to this. But anybody who says the regular season doesn't matter, check yourself, because the only reason we're still in the driver's seat right now is that we did really well in June, right?
Yeah.
We got to June, we got 12 points out of the month of June. And now we've had this, you know, not it's the meltdown at the end of the season wasn't quite as bad as last season, but it's definitely feels like that.
But yeah.
We survived that because we had played so well early in the season, right?
And I think too that, you know, the factors, as you know, that precipitated this, you know, a slide, if you want to call it that, this year, are a lot different than what was causing the slide last year.
You're 100% right about that.
You know, I think that this year, it can be attributed to, you know, the extensive travel that we've had to do, and just kind of the scheduling has been not great. but then on top of that, it's, you know, when you have a short roster and then you have some guys get hurt, it makes everything that much more difficult. And so,
and, you know, What's funny is, do you remember we did that sort of mid-season roundtable with everybody? Andrew and Kelly and Kyle.
Yep.
And the one thing that everybody said was, when I kind of asked, and at that point we were like top of the table or near the top of the table.
Yeah, we were humming along. Yeah.
Worried about, and you all said injuries. And that's exactly what happened. And that's exactly where we're at. So, but we are now, we've got kind of the full roster back except for Timmy Mell, although he was on the bench Saturday. He didn't get in the game, but he's almost back. So
I almost wonder if, you know, that was a move too, just, you know, I think they're saving him for Omaha. I think they want him to play against Omaha.
Yeah, and you know, being match fit is one thing, and getting thrown back into the cauldron is another thing. Right?
Correct.
So make a trip, be with the guys. But,
you know, that being said, and I'm sure we'll get to it during the, you know, the recap, Sam Brotherton's played well. You know, he's been really solid this run of games he's had, because he's been having just that, a run of games, you know, and the more he's been playing, the better
he's been. Before we get to the game, though, I do want to mention one piece of news from the league, and that is that Lexington announced a stadium deal. The 5,000 seats, it could be potentially expanded to 11,000 seats.
Mm-hmm.
$30 million project, and it will open before the end of next season, August 2024. And I can't remember, I apologize to whoever said this on Twitter, but one of the unpopular USL takes was that stadiums and soccer-specific stadiums that are kind of owned by the team, or at least primarily operated by the team, are probably more important to soccer than promotion relegation is.
Yep.
And I think it's hard to disagree with that. And we see,
I would absolutely 100% agree with that.
You see that in Madison. You see that the one of the biggest, well, one of the many, many problems with NISA is that half time, like on a Wednesday, the guys don't know where they're playing on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, and a nice stadium goes a long way, and a centrally located stadium. This one's going to be on the outskirts of Lexington, but it'll be in Lexington, not in Georgetown.
Okay.
You know, which is fantastic. So congratulations to Lexington.
We had fun in Georgetown, though. So
we had a good time in Georgetown. but it will mean something to the folks of Lexington to have a stadium in their city, and that's great news for them, and it's great for the league, I think, and for low level soccer to see a city like Lexington in it for the long haul. You know,
I agree. I don't think there's any way you can look at that and say that it's a negative thing for the league. And I think that exactly, kind of going off of what you're saying, if the league wants to establish itself as a serious league, this is one of the first steps, is securing stadiums for your teams, and to where you're not like sharing a space, or you're not just being an afterthought. Because, you know, when you have a stadium and a dedicated space, that allows you to build fan culture and allows you to build, you know, and so without that, it's kind of tough to do. And I think, you know, even, you know, not to get too in the weeds here, but if you look at some of the struggles that, you know, the University of Wisconsin team has in terms of attendance and things like that, it's because of the location of, you know, kind of where things are. And it's really away from the campus. And if that's, you know, if McClyman was down by the Kohl Center, I'm sure that they would probably have, you know, a pretty raucous environment. But instead, it's where it is. So I hope that the location is, I'm sure that they looked into it, but I think it's a great thing. I think it's a great thing that they're getting their own stadium. So.
So let's talk about this game though, briefly, because it sucked. the lineup was, I was a little surprised that Jaden Onan didn't start.
I was too.
And I thought, and I sort of overthought it in my like pregame analysis. I'm like, are they going to do like six midfielders? And I was thinking like, is Gebhardt going to play on the wing, and there's going to be like four guys in the middle and Chaney just by himself up top or something? But no, it was much simpler than that. It was Derek Gebhardt playing the number 10 role up top with Chaney, which he did when Onan was hurt and Chaney was out suspended, and he did well. And that's his kind of natural position anyway, so it did kind of make sense.
Right.
But and Jaden did come in on the hour mark, so I think the calculus there was, if we can stay level with them for a long time and then bring in real pace up top when the Northern Colorado legs are heavy, like that was a strategic decision.
especially too at the altitude, is, you know, I think you're looking to get a guy and get your guys in that can, especially, you know, especially around the 60th minute. I think we did two. Yep. And so, you know, I think you're wanting to do that because, you know, you want to keep those legs as fresh as you can because things wear out a little bit quicker in the altitude. Right. So,
right. And Jaden brings so much pace and energy onto the pitch. Like,
absolutely.
If it's nil-nil an hour in, you think you like your chances if you got Jaden on coming off the bench. Right. Unfortunately, it didn't work, but I still don't think you can say it was the wrong decision necessarily. But also, then with Derek up top, then you had Wheels on the wing where Derek normally goes. And then, like I said, you had Macias and Cello at the 6th to 8th position, Bartman in the middle. Brotherton did play for Mel again and did a good job, but Mel did make the trip. Now, and as you mentioned, Sam Brotherton has been, pretty unassailable. You haven't talked about him a lot, which is good if you're center back.
Right. Right. Exactly. I mean, unless you're Virgil van Dijk, you know, flying from the back, taking adventures, right. You don't want to talk about your center back too much. So.
Exactly. Now, the one thing that Brotherton doesn't bring as much that Timmy Mill does is the distribution.
Right.
Timmy Mill is a very, very accurate passer and very mm-hmm. clever at the vision. So that's what Timmy Mell would bring if he were to come back. But again, I don't know. Either you might be saving him from Omaha. You might decide that these three guys have been together for the last month, and why mess it up now on the biggest game of the season? Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see this weekend. But we'll talk more about that. But early on in this game, I was kind of pleased with how they started. It was really scrappy. Like, both teams were really going after it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we were chuckling at the forward club that, you know, Christian Chaney begins the game with a flying front kick. at the defender, you know, as he's clearing the ball. You know, as only Christian Chaney can. But I think that's good too, right? Like, that shows that, like, hey, let's get going, let's get this moving, you know. And it wasn't soon after that we started having some opportunities. So
yeah, exactly. And it was interesting because it was kind of an end to end match. It wasn't exactly like a KG box to box battle. There was stuff happening on both ends, but neither side got much in the way of shots off because both sides were defending really well. Right. But we did, right. Like you said, we got some chances. The only, the only shot on goal either way was Chaney's sort of from distance, which was a hell of a strike.
Yeah.
Kind of right at the keeper, but it was, why not take it if you're 26, 27 yards probably at least.
Take a rip.
And, but nobody closed him down, so why not? Derek had one. Derek Gebhardt was maybe the best chance we had all day. That would have been a very nice, very Madison goal because it was like a long ball from Shipman.
Yep.
Right to Chaney. Perfect touch over to Bartman right out of the air. Like, volleyed it right out of the air perfectly, cushioned it to Bartman, and he gets it forward back to Chaney. He gets it over to Derek. Derek chests it down into the box, and I stood up with my arms up in the air because I knew it was in. I knew it was a goal, and it went inches wide to the left.
Yep.
Agonizing. But that's the kind of thing that we could do. Unfortunately, didn't do that nearly enough.
No.
Right? No. We did get away with a couple. Run the cover out, had a couple of crosses very tight in and could have been tapped in, but they weren't. So no harm, no foul. But again, by halftime, they had a couple shots. We had a couple shots, only one on target. So you kind of feel good. Like, you know, we for sure need a draw. We'd love to get a win. And we know we got two weapons on the bench to come in. So 0-0 halftime feels okay. Unfortunately, very early in the second half, Cello Martinez fouls Noah Powder, what, about 21 yards from goal?
Yeah. If, 25 max. I mean, it's
it was one of those where
as soon as it happened, I had a bad feeling in my stomach. I mean, because I knew where it was going to be put, and I said to Andrew there, I said, he pretty much just has to put it over the wall, because at that, you know, from at that distance, that's like, that's the, you know, if you were to make a chart of where you want to take free kicks, right? They're the green zone being like, you know, the best. That is the darkest of the green right there. That is the perfect spot that you want to take free kicks from. Where, because like I said, you essentially just have to get over the wall. And if it's over the wall and down, it's tough for our goalie to react to it.
Yeah, and our wall, I mean, to be fair, it was a perfect strike. Like, he struck it sweetly.
He hit it as good as you can hit it.
Right where he wanted it. It did get up and down just like he wanted it. Our wall did not get a lot of air in their jump, we'll say that. But it didn't get too high vertically. Shipman probably feels like he could have done better, but I don't know how much better he could have done. But whatever. And then it gets worse. and that's to begin the second half. Like, then you feel like you're feeling good coming in the second half. 3 minutes in, you're down a goal on that. And then, you know, 70th minute, Lucky Opara sends a diagonal ball into the box looking for Trevor Amon, who has not been much of a factor yet.
No, at all.
Right? I mean, we held him scoreless in the last match. He had a couple of chances and Shipman shut him down. But in this one, he was kind of quiet, which is surprising. So the ball's coming in. Amon and Jacob Kroll is kind of Amon's making a kind of a diagonal run. It's a long ball. It's over everybody. It's not going anywhere near him. And Kroll was kind of marking him, and they got tangled up and went down, and it's a point to the spot. I don't know. Is that a foul in your mind?
Andrew and I were talking about it after the match, and I think we both kind of settled on that it is a foul, because, you know, it's he went through the guy. I mean, they're both watching the ball, right? Yeah. They're both watching the ball. But Amon stops to, and he has, you know, and that's up to Jake to see that and to stop. And I mean, if you go through the guy, it's a foul. Yeah. And so,
we also should note that, like, intent isn't always required in a foul.
Correct.
There's plenty of times when a foul is accidental.
Right. Exactly. And this is one of those times, because it's obvious that Jake wouldn't want to foul him in the box.
Especially with the balls that were close to him. Like, it wasn't like a desperation. I think it was purely just kind of not paying attention. A little bit lack of focus, maybe. A little bit unlucky.
I equate this to the pass interference call that you see in American football, where the quarterback will throw the ball down the field, the receiver will stop, and he's looking at the ball, and like the defensive back will run into the receiver, you know, and they'll throw the flag every time. Did he mean to run through the receiver? No. It's just one of those things, and that's the way it's going to get called. And so, just again, it's been like this the past, like going back to the Charlotte goal off the dude's face. It's just been a bad string of luck. And I mean, just Jake, I don't think he did anything wrong, but is it a foul? Yeah, it's a foul. Yeah. And it's a pen. So
it's probably the right call, as much as we don't want to admit it. And of course, Trevor Amon, not going to miss a penalty. It's his 23rd goal of the season.
Doesn't he have like 12 of them from the spot?
Several.
Yeah. I'm serious. I think he has like 12, 11 or 12 from the spot.
Really? 12, 11 or 12 penalties?
I think he, or something like seven, maybe? Seven or eight? He has a lot of penalties from the spot.
Okay. Well, that's not fair. But that's his third against Madison this season. I didn't look this up. Maybe Mitch will tell us. But has any individual person scored 3 goals against us this year other than him?
This year?
Yeah, this season.
Kazai Sterling?
Quite possible.
Because then he scored 2 against us, and then he scored 2 down in Tormenta too.
Yep, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, there's a little trivia for the day. But none of this, but again, it's a question of the penalty. We can debate whether it's a penalty. We can debate Jake's complicity in that. We can debate the we can dissect the free kick from Powder. None of that would matter if we could do anything with the ball. And the biggest thing with this game that was very, very frustrating watching it was the number of just mishit balls and bad first touches. Like, this wasn't a case of we don't know what to do, we don't have any ideas. You know, the ideas were there, right? The tactics were there. But this is like, I was so reminded of coaching like U11 when the, like, the kids are starting to understand tactics and they have like a good idea. They'll somebody will make a run and somebody will see it. And then they'll trip over the ball or just sky it out of bounds or just kick it into a defender's shin. And it was just so frustrating because we would have, there was one, I think of one moment in the second half, we had possession for almost 2 minutes, like just, and good possession. Like, we were probing, we were making smart ideas, and we were switching play and we were finding channels. And finally, Stephen Payne gets a little space on the right and pours it into the stands.
Yeah. Just bombs it.
Hit it and it's like hard to blame Stephen, but it's like, but that happens so often, so many times,
that happened like two or three times in the game. Right. Where somebody would end up bombing it way too far. And there'd be someone in space in the box waiting for a ball, and the ball would be 10 yards behind them. You know, it's on
And also several instances where a good pass was made but not received well.
Yeah.
Right? Where the
poor first touch or bounce away or anything like that.
Would bound away and then we lose possession.
Yeah,
and none of this was really reflected in the statistics. I mean, we still had like 85% passing accuracy, which is a little bit low for us, but not bad. They only recorded 5 interceptions. We had just barely under 50% of possession, but it just felt like the balls we lost were just at really inopportune moments, and like in the midst of a really good attack. Or the other moment I'm thinking of is when Aiden Macias up the left hand channel had a run of just the incredible footwork that he can do every once in a while. He individually dribbled through 3 defenders and handed the ball off to, I can't remember who, might've been Pierre on the left. I don't remember who it was, but we just lost possession after that. Like,
Just give it away.
It was just so frustrating. And it just feels like still 31 games into the season, we haven't put it all together yet, you know? Like, this game, we defended well for the most part. We didn't allow any goals. We didn't really even allow any chances. I mean, I can think of 2 where they had a pretty good opportunity, or Northern Colorado had a pretty good chance. But those were their only 2 shots on target, were dead ball, a penalty, and a free kick.
Yep.
And they both went in.
Yep.
We gave them almost nothing in the run of play. So our defending was good for the most part.
Yeah, defending was great.
Our midfield, the midfield possession was tactically sound. Like, they were executing the game plan. They were doing what they needed to do. And they had strings of possession. It was just like this sort of technical execution piece that was just missing Saturday night.
Well, I mean, and I think, you know, that's been the last however many seasons, that's been the bugaboo, is up front, you know, it's just production up front. And, you know, it's when you get those chances, you got to take them, you know. And like you were saying, whether it's the Derek ball that went, you know, just to the left, or, you know, I think there was another time where they had a nice 2-on-1 and the touch was just a little too hot. Mm-hmm. And you know, it ends up rolling away and everything like that.
It happened a lot with too many heavy touches, or when you know, Christian Chaney even had several opportunities and just the first touch just failed him.
Yeah.
And so he ended up not getting very many shots. He had the one big shot and maybe I think one other, but we had a lot of opportunities that didn't show up in the score sheet because we never got a shot off.
Right. Right. And that's frustrating for fans, obviously. I mean, but you know, it's got to be frustrating for the guys too. I mean, to be trying, you know, you can see that they're trying to do everything they can to try and manufacture some offense.
Yes.
And you end up going down 2 goals on, you know, a foul and a free kick and then a penalty and a PK. So, you know, it's just, it's a tough time, I think, right now for the guys, but I know that all of them are just, they're psyched for Saturday and just to have a chance.
So. I kind of felt like, I wonder if knowing they had to win, I wonder if they were pressing a little bit or they were kind of hyped up a little bit. At least early in the game, it looked like they were kind of hyped and they were hitting balls harder than they needed to.
Yeah, I think too is, you know, I always mention this and people kind of, but you really have to take into account the altitude. I mean, the lighter air. I mean, it's there's a reason why they say like the balls jump, off bats in Colorado. Right. Yeah. Well, the same thing would work with soccer balls, where soccer balls jump too. So where you're normally giving a touch that, you know, that down here you'd be able to, that would be right on the foot, up there it's a little heavy, you know? And so, yeah. I think that's a real thing, you know, and that's one of those things that you could see because they were playing well. It just, like you said, it was those fine details that were missing. But
we do have to acknowledge the very nearly Mitch Osmond scissor kick goal.
Oh yeah.
Which was, just classic. And he was up in the box for a corner, I think, because that's what he
and so, and then he showing up, and I think if he would have scored that
would have been the moment of the entire season. Even if
that would have been the goal of the year, and I'd have been saying that's a, you know, nominee for the Puskas Award. You know, yeah. I mean, so Mitch Osmond hitting a scissor kick.
Yeah. That would have been amazing. So anyway, it ends up being a 2-0 defeat at Northern Colorado, and which ended up being, you know, kind of okay because Tormenta lost, so we didn't check the position. What it did mean, in terms of the table, we'll talk more about the table in a minute, but it just means we can't get any higher than sixth.
Right.
Like before, had we won that, fourth place still would have been in play, but it's not anymore, which is fine. We don't care. We just want to get in. So let's talk about these other games for a minute. And then we'll talk about the table a little more and about Saturday. So on Wednesday last, Omaha gets back at the winning ways with a 4-1 defeat of Charlotte. Joe Gallardo opened the scoring in this one in the 20th minute. Tesser Umbuyu equalized for the Jacks just 1 minute later, but then it was all Omaha after that. Actually, it was all Stephen Trace Santos, they're calling him now, because he had a second half hat trick, and then 66th on a corner, then the 90th minute on a header, and then 5 minutes in the stoppage time on a counter to seal it for Omaha. Also on Wednesday, Greenville beats Central Valley 2-1. No goals for the first hour of this one, but then Alexis Cerritos got Fuego on the board. Kind of a lucky bounce on a corner, but then Greenville responded really well with goals from Jamie Smith and Jacob Lavovitz. This one was actually all Greenville. It was the 20 shots and only got two of them in. But I believe that, oh no, that's, they clinched their playoff spot on Saturday. That didn't clinch it.
Correct.
But then on Friday, Knoxville and Richmond played to a 2-2 draw. Knoxville needed 2-3 points to stay in playoff contention, and they gave up a late goal to the kickers to get eliminated. Knoxville actually got the early lead on an own goal from Matthew Bentley, kind of an unlucky bounce. Then Neil Vignoles leveled it on a penalty. Then Knoxville got the lead right back. Lovely chip from Ilya Illich, but that just couldn't hold it.
Nice.
Vignoles got his second of the night. Just a lightning bolt from distance. I don't know. Did you see this goal? This is
goal
of the week, I think.
Yeah, I did. It was great.
And that really dashed Knoxville's hope. All right. And then turning to Saturday, North Carolina goes to Lexington and gets a 1-0 win. Olaf Anderson got the only goal in this one, but it got really interesting late. As Pierre Bonnet for Lexington got his second yellow card in a 6-minute span to get sent off. Tariq Muhammad from Lexington and Devin Benton from North Carolina both got sent off in stoppage time. So
this one finished. I mean, I'm sorry for laughing, but that's an effort. If you get two yellows within 6 minutes, and didn't he, like, wasn't he a sub?
He was a sub. He came on.
Yeah.
He got a yellow card, and then 6 minutes later got another one.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess we can't say too much, seeing how, like, I think Mauro Chisero has done that twice this year, where he's come in and gotten a red card. Like, you know, so,
like,
yeah, they've gone like, straight red.
He's like our enforcer.
Yeah.
Being an enforcer.
Yeah. He's our Bill Laimbeer, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's,
but what kind of sucks for Mohamed and Mane is that now their season's done. Like, Lexington's eliminated. Yeah. They have one match left this weekend, but they're
done.
Out.
Yeah, they're done.
Chattanooga and Greenville draw 2-2, and that point clinches the playoff spot for Greenville. Chattanooga did go up 2-0, first half goals from Jonathan Felipe and Rapapa Mensah, but we all know that's a very dangerous lead. And Jacob Lavovitz and Leo Castro enter in the second half just 5 minutes apart to get a point for Greenville, and that seals them a playoff spot. And then Omaha scores 4 more on Tormenta. So they've got this team that we're hosting on Saturday has scored 8 goals in the past 2 games in the past week.
Sounds like they're due for a goose egg.
I think they are. Steven Dos Santos keeps his scoring streak alive with a goal on a rebound in the 13th. Then Dalton Knutsen for Tormenta gets himself sent off for a denial goal scoring opportunity. That was an unfortunate thing, but it was an easy call. It was the right call. Then Tormenta just couldn't hold it after that. Noe Meza, Lagos Kunga scored just a minute apart, and then Joe Brito finishes it off a little bit later to put Tormenta in jeopardy of losing the playoff spot. And had we won after that on Saturday, then that would have eliminated Tormenta. But we just we felt bad for him. We didn't
want to
do that job. So
we wanted to do this at home in front of the home fans.
Yep.
You know. Exactly. You know, and make a big deal out of it and all kinds of stuff. You know.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We you know, don't forget last year, Tormenta was outside the playoffs on the last day.
Correct.
And played their way in.
How'd that turn out for him?
And that turned out just fine for him, I guess.
I keep bringing this up to people. I mean, because I think that's the, you know, just because of the way that the boys have been playing, I think that there's not a lot of hope with these guys. But I just keep telling people, I'm like, look, Tormenta was out there the last day. They were not looking to get in, and they got in the last day and ended up winning the whole thing.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it's like, and playing well leading into the playoffs is not an indicative thing that you're going to just get to the playoffs and dominate. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the Brewers, they won 92 games this year and got sent home in 37 hours.
Yeah, right.
You know, look at what's happening right now to, like, some of the other teams. Like, you know, like the Dodgers are down 2-0. The Orioles were the best team in baseball. They're getting sent home tonight. Yeah. So it's the playoffs are a completely different season. But unless you get in, you can't experience that.
Right.
And that's the whole thing. It's just get in. It's just get in.
Just get in. The thing is, if we do get in, it'll be in sixth place, which means all of our games will be on the road. So
we
better travel well, folks.
Good thing we got a lot of PTO saved up.
Exactly right. So here's where we are. Omaha is at the top of the table, which is where they deserve to be at this point, frankly.
Yeah, playing very well.
Yeah, there's 2 points ahead of North Carolina. And 3 ahead of Northern Colorado. So any of those 3 could end up on top, depending on how the other things go. Mm-hmm. Northern Colorado will play Chattanooga. North Carolina will play Knoxville. You'd expect both of those to be wins. But even if they are, Omaha just needs a point in Madison, and they'll seal the player's shield at the top of the table. So we will try to prevent that from happening. Meanwhile, Charlotte needs a win or a Greenville draw or loss to tie up a home playoff game. Charlotte will be playing to solidify fourth place, which is important. They're playing Tormenta.
Okay.
So that game's important to us. Charlotte has beaten Tormenta twice this year. 3-1 all the way back in March, 3-2 back on August 12th. We will be playing Omaha, obviously. We drew them on the opening weekend 1-1 and then beat them 2-1 on May 27th, both at Omaha. So this is our first time here playing them. This is also the first time we're playing them when they haven't lost in like a year and a half.
It felt like that at some point, didn't it? Yeah. It felt like, what did they win in a row? Like 14 in a row or something like that?
They won 10 in a row, but they're still unbeaten in 13. Jesus. Might be 14 at this point.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, they haven't lost a game since like July. Like it's just unreal the way they're playing right now. So we're catching Omaha at a bad time, but that's okay because we're going to have some swagger and we're going to need to win. Here's what it comes down to. We got two teams, Tormenta and Madison, vying for that last spot. The coolest thing would be is if we happen to be playing Tormenta this weekend.
That'd be pretty dope, wouldn't it?
That would be amazing, but we're not. So if Madison wins, Madison's in the playoffs. And
that's it.
If we just win and win, that's it. So let's just do that.
Because then even if Tormenta wins, we're still in. So.
Yep. We're 2 points ahead of them. So we win, they win, we're still 2 points ahead. If Tormenta does not win, if they lose or draw at Charlotte, Madison will be in, regardless of whether we win or lose.
So they have to win. Yeah, okay.
If we lose and they win, they're in on points.
Yep.
If we draw and they win, they are in on the goal differential tiebreaker, which is not the first tiebreaker. The first tiebreaker will be wins. We have 12 wins. They have 11. So if we draw and they win, they would have 12 wins. So we'd both
And then it goes to tiebreaker.
With points, and we'd be tied on wins, and they have a better goal differential than we do. So all that means is let's just win. We're playing at the same time. So we will be watching our phones. I don't know if it's
this is either going to be the best Saturday ever or the worst.
It's entirely possible if our game is a draw and Tormenta loses, that like both teams could be really celebrating at the end of this game. Like if Omaha gets the point they need to win the Shield and we get into the playoffs, we'll all be like, hey, all right, let's all go to the forward club. That would be just fine. Now, last year, Richmond sealed the player shield at our place. Do you remember
That's correct. Yeah.
That sucked. So I would prefer not to have that happen. I would prefer if we just beat Omaha and Northern Colorado and or North Carolina get the wins that they should win, and Omaha just gets knocked down to second or third, that would be fine. Actually, I would rather Omaha not end up in third. Well, maybe I don't care. I don't know. It would be kind of fun.
I want Northern Colorado to get the one, because if we ever have to go back out there, I'd rather go out to Fort Collins than Omaha. Just in terms of aesthetic alone, like good places to hang out. I'd rather be in Fort Collins than Omaha. So
right. But well, if we end up six and Omaha ends up three, we would go there on the 21st.
Yeah,
we'd go to Omaha. We'd be Omaha back to back weeks basically. Yeah, exactly. the banter has begun on Twitter. The Omaha fans are in fine form. Whatever.
They're always in fine form.
Yes, they're great. So this weekend, the Flock is hosting a tailgate at McPike Park. Many of our friends from Omaha will be there.
Yep.
We'll get to. I'm sure they will razz us a bit. One of the bantery tweets, I can't remember who said it, but it was like, I'd rather be playing for first place than playing for my life. And I'm like, well, yeah, like agreement.
Yeah.
Is this a burn? Yes, exactly. Yeah, yes, 100%. I would also prefer to be playing for first place, but we're not. You are. So okay. Anyways,
I tell you.
The tailgate will get underway at 3:00. We will wander on over to the Bree Stevens, probably, I don't know, 5:30 or so. Game starts at 6:00. And then we will either be celebrating or drowning our sorrows around 8:00.
Hey, I mean, it's, win or lose, we booze. So.
Win or lose, we shall booze. And it'll be a great time to see everybody. We sold out the stadium last weekend.
I think it's going to get close this weekend too, despite the weather. I really do.
It's going to be pretty close this weekend. It's going to be a little chillier. I don't know. It's supposed to rain.
Yeah. and lots of wind too. And so it's going to be it's going to be a horrible day. But the forecast I saw, it showed that the rain should stop by the time the ball kicks off. So we'll just probably have to deal with some wind and some cold, but that's fine.
It's all right. We've dealt with that before.
I do have to say, would we want to be going into this last game, being able to rest guys going in? Yeah, of course. But it's kind of exciting too. You kind of hope that you always have a chance to make the playoffs and have your fate in your hands, right? And we haven't had that, in the past few years. Exactly. We have a direct chance at this. And so we're playing a team that we play very well. I mean, because mind you, we're playing and we beat them on their pitch at Warner Park, which is that little, postage stamp of a pitch. We play them pretty well. I know the boys will be ready. I know that they're already excited. But I think the fans will be excited too, and I think it'll be a great atmosphere despite everything. And Andrew was bringing up. He's like, in a few weeks here, it's going to be cold. We're going to be missing this already.
Regardless of what happens, we'll be missing this. We'll be missing these conversations. We'll be missing game day.
Have some fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on out, have some fun. It's going to be great. Now, Omaha does have some weapons, man. Like if our defenders are stalwart the way they were early in the season, way they were even this past Saturday, they basically shut down Trevor Amont. They could shut down Steven Dos Santos. You shut down Steven Dos Santos, you got to deal with Noe Meza and Joe Brito and many others. But I feel like you say, we match up with them well.
Mm-hmm.
Play with them well. If we can have some swagger, if we don't press, if we focus, I think we can do this. There was also a moment, there was a certain set of results that could have happened where both Madison and Omaha would need a draw. That would have been the most boring game ever. Both they would have agreed. Let's just not score. It's fine.
That would have been like the old Simpsons skit where it's just like they're showing the soccer game where it's like, back to center, back to fullback, back to center. It's just passing back and forth,
Exactly. But as you note, we don't have to. We're going to be paying attention to Tormenta, but we don't have to. Like, we don't have to win and hope for something else.
Right. It's just win.
Which is where we've been in the past. We just have to win. This is back to 2019. We went to Lansing. We just had to win. We won. We made it in. It's great. And again, we have the longest playoff drought of any team in this league. It's our turn. We need to get in. So we just need to win this game. We just need to end Omaha's winning streak. We need to take them off the top of the table, and then go. And if they end up in third, go then the following week and knock them out of the playoffs. That would be fantastic. So we'll see. Let's do it. All right. Thank you, Grant, for being here and for talking.
Always glad. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, talking this through with us. And everybody, enjoy your next couple of days. Enjoy the banter on Twitter with Omaha fans, and we will see you Saturday.